So let's review. Our shiur began with the Gemara referring to that which the Mishnah on Daf Samach Amud Aleph said, "V'loy b'yachid b'zman she'im b'raglav maka." A person may not go outside wearing one shoe unless he has a wound on his foot. Rashi explains, the reason for this issur is either that the person will be suspected of carrying the other shoe under his garment, or that people make fun of him for wearing only one shoe, and to spare himself further embarrassment, he will remove it and carry it. Now when he does have an injured foot, he may wear only one shoe. The Gemara cites a machloikis on which one of his feet would he wear that one shoe. On the injured foot as protection because sandal l'shum tsar of it, the main purpose of his shoe is to protect from pain, or on the healthy foot for extra comfort because l'shum tainig of it, the main purpose of his shoe is to provide comfort. The Gemara next gets into a discussion as to which shoe to put on first. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, kitfilin, kach menolin, matzfilin b'smoil, af menolin b'smoil. Yochanan teaches that shoes are like tefillin and that the left side is given preference. Therefore, we put on our left shoe before the right. The Gemara asks from a brayso which states, "Noil shel yamin ve'achikach noil shel smol." We put on our right shoe first. Considering the conflicting opinions, the Gemara offers two approaches. Amr Rav Yosef, "Da'aver hachi aved ve'da'aver hachi aved." Either way is correct. Or Amr Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Yirei Shemayim Yitzidei Shteim. One with Yirei Shemayim to try to fulfill both opinions, by putting on his right shoe first, and then tying his left shoe first. The Gemara cites a brayso which elaborates on this general principle of showing greater honor to the right side, and says, when putting shoes on, one puts on the right shoe first, and then the left shoe. When removing shoes, one honors the right shoe by removing it last. When washing or anointing, we treat the right side first. However, when washing the entire body, we wash the head first. Mimnei shehu melech al kol evarav, since it is king over all the limbs. The Gemara continues with the Mishnah. One may not wear tefillin outside on Shabbos, but if he did, he is not chayev to bring a karma chatas. The Gemara clarifies that afil lamando amar Shabbos man tefillin hu. Even according to the opinion that Shabbos is a time to wear tefillin, one may still not wear it in Rishus Rabim out of concern that he will remove it and carry it. Another version of the statement is that even according to the opinion that Shabbos loves man tefillin, that Shabbos is not a time to wear tefillin, and one does not fulfill a mitzvah by wearing them, one would still not be chayiv chatas for doing so, and it's not considered a masri because derech malbish avid, it's worn and like clothing. The next halacha in the Mishnah was, v'loy b'kameya b'zman she'inah min ha-mumcha. One may not go out on Shabbos with a kameya, an amulet, that is not from an expert. The Gemara points out that we do not need both the writer and the kameya to be proven effective. It's sufficient that the writer of the amulet to be a mumcha. Tesis adds, that of course if this amulet was proven effective, it may be worn even if the writer is not a mumcha. The Gemara quotes a brayso which states, it may be a written amulet or made of herbs, it may be to help any type of illness, life-threatening or not, or even to just prevent illness. However, it must be tied directly to the person and may not be tied onto a bracelet or a ring. That would be usur because of maris ha'ayin, because then it looks like it is being used as an ornament, which it's not. It's a takshit that's worn for reasons of health, as Rashi at the bottom of Samach Aleph Amud Beis says, takshitehu. The Braisa also begins a discussion about establishing the effectiveness of a kameya, and Rav Papa summarizes, generally speaking, in order to establish a kameya as effective, it must heal three times. In order to establish a person as an expert in writing kameyas, he must have written three separate kameyas that worked for three people. However, Bayer Rav Papa, Talasi kameya l'chad garvamai, Rav Papa has a question. What if a single person wrote three different kameyas to cure a single person? Obviously, none of the individual amulets have been proven three times, but do we consider the writer proven, or do we say mazla dahai garbo hu dekamakabal kisva? The recipient has proven to be especially receptive to written amulets, but perhaps others may not be as receptive. The Gemara leaves this as a takeli unresolved. Rashi here explains mazla dahai garbo as malochi shel choy lazeh. Similarly, Rashi above in Nun Gimlum Beis explains Mazel as Malach Shaloi Umelitzalov, one's angel who advocates on his behalf. The final discussion on the daf is the question of Kimein Yeshbe Mishum Kedusha, or Dilma Inbe Mishum Kedusha. Do amulets with written names of Hashem or Psukim have Kedusha? The Gemara clarifies the Shail. With regard to saving them from a fire in Shabbos, there is a brayso which clearly states Habrochis Vahakimein. One is not permitted to save them. With regard to putting them in Geniza, we also have a clear brisa that they require Geniza. The question of their Kedusha relates to whether one can go into the bathroom with them. The Gemara strives to prove that it would be permissible, for if not, we would not be allowed to wear them outside for fear that he may remove it before entering the bathroom in violation of carrying on Shabbos. The Gemara makes three attempts to reject this proof, which are not accepted. First, perhaps only a kameh of herbs, kameh shel ikaron, and no holy writing may be worn outside. Second, maybe we only allow a kameh outside for somebody dangerously ill, b'chol shesh b'sakana. These two answers are rejected because the brisa above clearly stated, echad kameh shel ksav, v'echad kameh shel ikaron, echad chol shesh b'sakana, v'echad chol shein b'sakana. Third, since its therapeutic effect can happen even when being held, perhaps it is permissible to carry the kameh outside. However, brisa clearly taught, it may not be carried in Rosh Hashanah. As Rashi adds, it's only considered takshit, an accessory, when worn. The Gemara gives a fourth answer, which is ultimately accepted. Perhaps kameis indeed do have kedusha, but we are not concerned that he will remove them before entering the bathroom, because the kameya may indeed be brought into the bathroom, since it is mechupor, covered with leather. Kameis were usually kept in small leather pouches. The Gemara points out, although tefillin are also covered with leather, and the Brisa tells us, Hanechnis labeis akisei cholitz tefillin of berachik arba amis benichnis, when entering the bathroom, a person should remove his tefillin 4 amis away, that is on account of the shin on the outside of the batim. But the leather cover would have sufficed to permit bringing the parashis into the bathroom. The shaila of whether kameyas have kedusha regarding whether an uncovered kameya may be brought into a beis akisei remains unresolved. Parenthetically, Abaye teaches that the shin embossed on the batim and the dalas and the yud formed by the ritzuis, the straps of the tefillin, are all halacha l'moisha misinai.